on this morning, and we return to 1 Thessalonians. Turn me down just a little if you don't care. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, we've had a word that we've used throughout 1 Thessalonians. It's come up in every chapter. Starts with a C. Next letter's O. Comfort. Comfort. And we said that comfort meant two things. That's one, to come alongside. And where did we get that? That's the same in the Greek. It's the same word that is used for the Holy Spirit, the paraklesis. He comes alongside. He's always beside us. He's always inside us. He's always there to comfort us, to relieve us from sorrow or sickness, but also to encourage us. And that's the second word. In other words, Paul says that he was comforted, which means he was encouraged, and that he wanted them to be comforted or encouraged. And remember, I told you sometimes the encourager needs encouraging, right, Nick?
Yes.
So that's the key word that we've been dealing with. But at the end of each chapter, there's an event that takes place that is the most comforting thing that could comfort or encourage anyone that is a child of God. And what's that? Huh? His coming. Look, if that don't encourage us, say something wrong. All you got to do is look around where we are, folks. This is a godless, sin-cursed, evil world that we're living in and getting worse every day. But our comfort, our encouragement, this won't be much longer. Won't be much longer. We rely on His promise. Like that song, we're standing on the promises of God. So we came to chapter 4. And chapter 4, he starts out by talking about the walk. How we should live. You remember that? And he said that he wanted us to abound more and more. And I gave you two things there. Anybody remember them? Wait just a second. I got to go back here because I can't hear too good. It's suit to superabound. They both start with S. Superabound in quantity, but to be superior in quality. That's what he wants for us. And then he goes on to follow that, and he says, "For this is the will of God." What was the will of God there?
Even your sanctification. I'm sorry.
Right. You're sharp as tack this morning. You took your medicine, didn't you? I tell you what. I can tell when she don't take that medicine. It's like last week I had to correct her, but boy, I didn't have to correct her today. Even your sanctification. What did we say about that? Remember, I gave you a verse in Hebrews that says, "For by one offering he hath perfected." Now, I gave you a word for that. Started with an S. Next layer's A. Next layer's L. Next layer's V.
Salvation.
"For he hath saved," what's the next word? "Forever." Now listen, if that don't comfort you, I can't help you. If that don't comfort you, the Word of God can't help you, because it's in there. "He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." What He did on the inside of you. "Old things passed away, and behold, all things became new." We are a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's the sanctification that He did for us. He took us and set us apart for himself. That's who you are now. If you're saved, that's who you are. You're not trying to be that. You are that. But what is our trying or efforts now? Since you can't try and you can't do it on the inside, that's God's work, right? What, honey, don't mumble, say it out.
We're supposed to tell.
Well, that's sort of true.
Huh? We're supposed to walk
worthy. Well, that's sort of true. He says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Well, what does that mean? If he's already sanctified you, don't that take care of it? That's a question.
That does take care of it.
I knew I'd get me an answer. I'm like that lawyer. Boy, I tell you what, and I never ask a question unless I know the answer, honey. Don't remember that.
I know.
You're half right, but you're half wrong. He sanctified you on the inside. That's right. Who you are now, a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's settled.
So that's not going anywhere.
So what's your job?
Is to keep.
No, what's your job? Keep on the same track now. If he sanctified you on the inside, what's your job?
Show it on the outside.
Sanctify yourself on the outside. In other words, do what he's empowered you on the inside, bring it to the outside. That's why he says, remember, he over and over and over, he said that we should walk
worthy.
That's what that means. You're not walking worthy to try to save yourself. That's a done deal. But how's anybody going to know you're saved unless they see what the only thing is? They can't see on the inside of you, Jimmy. Try as they will. They pull your shirt tail up all they want to. They're just going to see you. But when it comes to the outside, when you bring to the outside what God has done on the inside, now you're doing the will of God, even your sanctification. And one way he says to do that is to abstain from fornication. Now folks, all you got to do is listen around. If you don't think that's becoming more and more prevalent. I mean, I have honestly, and I won't mention names, I could, but I won't. I have talked to people that will tell you they're saved, but they're living out of wedlock with somebody. Now, I've got to tell you, something don't match up. You say, Tom, you're not supposed to judge people and judging no one. That don't match up. That's not sanctification. I don't care what anybody says, because he says even that you should abstain. Well, abstain means get away from it.
Right.
Have nothing to do with it. Don't go around telling everybody, well, I'm a Christian. We're just not married yet. Well, something don't match up. That's all I can say. So what he's talking about is our lives and what people see in our lives. And who's to get the glory for what people see in our lives? He is.
Right.
He's the one that did the sanctification on the inside. So if we're trying to sanctify ourselves on the outside, he gets the glory for it.
That's right.
He says, that men may see your good works. What's the rest of that verse? Well, she took that medicine. Hey, yeah, you said she's hard. She's sharp this morning. Bring me some of that next week. I don't know. That's not Gino Canobli. I don't know what that is, but whatever they put you on, honey, it's working. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father. So if people sees a sanctified life in you, they're going to give God the glory. Because they're going to say, well, I remember that person. Boy, I remember how they used to live. And God's done something for them. That's what he's talking about. So he says that now here in chapter 4. I'll just pick up and read a little and bring us to where we're going. Because wherever you're at, that's your. Okay. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. He didn't save you to walk unclean, but to walk holy.
That's right.
He therefore that despiseth despiseth not man, but God. If you despise that scripture, you're not despising what I say or Nick says or Lynn says. You're despising what God says. God says I don't. God says that's how we're to be. I don't say that. Remember what the key verse that we've come across? Pardon me. They received it not as it were the word of man, but as it is in truth. Come on, think. But as it is in truth, the word of God. Well, honey, if you mumble, I can't
the
hear
word
you.
Of God.
There, I heard that.
Okay.
Us don't be afraid to shout it out in here because about everybody in here is the same boat I'm in. I can look around and tell. Got these hidden ear rings and earplugs and what do you call them?
Hearing
aids. Thank you, brother. See, he hears good. And then we talked about but as touching brotherly love, what did he say about that? I know you're looking. And we talked about that, didn't we? I mean, I don't need the pastor to tell me to love Lynn. I don't need the pastor to tell me to love Diane. Or Jimmy, or anyone else that's in the family. God does that. But what does Paul say for us to do in our sanctification? Do it more and more. In other words, remember the two words? To superabound in quantity. The love I have for you, let it get more. Let it really go. And then let it be superior in quantity. That's sanctification, folks. That's our obligation. That's our obligation. So he says, as doing that, I don't need to tell you that. God does it for you. And then he says, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you... That you do what? Isn't that what he said? I know you love me, Nick. Let it be more. I know I love Pam, but let it be more. That's what he's talking about. Don't ever say I've got there. Don't ever say I've arrived. The only time we'll arrive is when we arrive.
That's right.
And that won't be here.
That's right.
Paul says, I press towards the mark, the prize of the high calling. I've not yet achieved anything, he said. But I'm striving for that place where I will. And then he goes on to say this. And that ye study to be quiet. Now, that's tough for me. That's tough for me. The word study there, it's not the same word in Hebrews where he says study to show thyself approved. That word means with speed in Hebrews. It means don't sleep on it. Be eager to show yourself approved of God. Here, the word means to strive. Really desire. Desire what?
A quiet life.
Strive to live a quiet life. Don't be a busybody. Don't be a gossiper. Don't meddle in other people's business. Why? Well, that's not sanctification, that's why. That's the opposite of sanctification. I mean, you know, if on Monday morning I'm on the phone, boy, I tell you what, you won't believe what somebody said to me yesterday at church. Now, and I know we laugh, but I don't say that to be funny. That's not a quiet life, folks.
That's right.
A quiet life is this: when you get up on Monday morning, Lord, let me pray for my brothers and sisters. They're going to need it today. That's the difference. That's the difference. Oh, it's easy. Look, I get it. I know when you get on the phone, it's easy to start talking. But he says, don't do that. Strive. What does that mean? If you have to strive at something, it's not... It was easy. Anybody could do it. Should have took my 2 pumps, but I didn't. I'll not do that again. It says, study to be quiet and to do your own business. Mind your own business. Don't mind mine. Mind yours. You got enough problems with your own business. You don't need mine on you. I can assure you that. So he says, live a quiet life. Mind your own business. And then he says, and to work with your own hands, that you may, as we commanded you, work. Well, I got to confess, I've never been too much on that manual labor. It scares me to death. I just get so much anxiety when they mention labor, manual labor. Now, I have worked since I was 19 years old. A lot of people say what I did for a living wasn't work, but Les will say the opposite. It is work. It's stressful work. You know, when a claim gets denied, I'm the one they call. So it's stressful work. So he's not talking about necessary manual labor. What he's saying is work. Don't be afraid to work. He that will not work should not eat. Now listen, I didn't make that up, and that's not a parable, folks. That's right out of God's Word. God's not saying if you've got a disability and you can't work that you shouldn't eat. No, because he tells us to take care of them. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you're capable of working, you should work. Why? Especially if, now listen, I'm not talking to the unsaved, so forget them. I can't command them anything out of God's Word. They're not going to listen. For they're not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So I'm talking to the church, to the family. He's talking to the church, to the family. He says, I want you to work. And then he says this, not only do I want you to work, I want you to live honestly. Toward them that are without. Live a quiet life. Don't be a busybody. And work. And be honest among them that are without. Why? Well, I can tell you why. So that you get a big badge on you. You get this big badge on you, this big sign that says, look what I'm doing. That's what he says. Let men see your good works. Well, folks, that's good works. Listen, if you obey the Word of God, that's good works. And guess what? That's what people see. That's called sanctification. All this is called sanctification. Did you notice all this is about your daily life? But then something strange happens. Maybe it's not strange to you. It was strange to me. I mean, he just immediately, abruptly, leaves how we're supposed to live now, and he starts encouraging us about what's going to come afterwards. You know, because, listen, if what I just told you don't discourage you, I don't know. Sure it does. Because the first thing you do is the first thing I did. I start looking at my life. Oh, boy, I measured up. Have I lived up to that? Have I really sanctified my life? Do I really live a sanctified life? Do I really live in such a way that people say, well, Tom's an honest man. He's a good Christian man. God's really done something in his life. I don't know. That's how I felt. So he abruptly says, well, I wouldn't have you ignorant about something. He takes us to the coming of Christ. Why? Isn't it amazing? You know, did anybody ever go out into the, it wasn't really. I remember in Irwin, my grandfather, he had chickens. And they'd go out there and throw stuff on the ground. You know what them chickens would do?
Pick it up.
I mean, they picked up what you put down.
That's right.
I love it when people pick up what I put down. The biggest encouragement that you or I can have is to know that he could come back at any moment. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter. I'm just going to read a few verses there, and then we're going to go somewhere else. Most everyone in here is probably familiar with this scripture. You've probably heard it numerous times. Normally these are at grave sites, you know. But he's talking about in chapter 15, he starts off by saying this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you... preach unless you believed in vain. In other words, nothing else that follows what I'm going to tell you means a thing if you've not believed the gospel.
That's right.
And the way you know that you really believed it unto salvation is that you continue in it. You don't forget it. He says, if you keep in memory. I mean, you know, if you make a profession and you're around for about 2 or 3 months and then you're gone, I just say maybe you believed in vain. Because he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my... Starts with a T, next letter's R, next letter's U, next letter's E. That's only 4 letters. True disciple. I mean, if you don't continue, don't go around telling people you're a disciple, you're saved. It ain't possible. He says, if you continue, if you remember, and if you keep it in your memory, if you sustain. I realize that living a sanctified life is hard. I do. I'm one of you. I'm no different. Paul's no different. Paul struggled, I guarantee you, with living a sanctified life. Why? Because it's about the flesh. But there's no need to talk about what he's wanting to talk about till he talks about what he has to talk about. Does that make sense? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In other words, I've told you what saved me, and it'll save you if you believe it. And if you keep it in memory, it'll save you. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now he got to where he wants to get to. Wherever you at, there you are. Because he's wanting to talk to them about the resurrection. How many would like to know more about the resurrection? Well, you know, Jesus said in John, I believe it's John chapter 5, maybe 20, verse 29, I think, right in there. It's on the second column, right-hand page of my Bible. He says that there's two resurrections. One unto life, and one unto death. And what preceded that was, he says, they that have done good unto life, and they that have done evil unto damnation. Well, now that sort of sounds like a works thing, doesn't it? Doesn't it? I mean, they that have done good. Well, I mean, my goodness, just go out now. You've got more definitions of good in this world now than I can shake a stick at. I mean, you know, different people have different ideas what's good. He's talking about morals. No doubt about that. But all you got to do is listen, and people's morals are not necessarily the same. Well, I know he's not talking about good and doing good. Because he says, they said, what shall we do that we might work the works? And he said, well, this is the works of God. That you, first layer is B, next layer is E, believe. Finish it. Well, that's a good way to, that's a paraphrase verb, but it's what it says. Believe in him whom God hath sent. So you see, what he's talking about when he says they that do good, he means they that believe in the Son of God. Because if you read the preceding verses, you see that that's what he's talking about. Remember, it all started by he came and there was the pool and there was the man for 38 years that had been lame. And he said, would you like to be made whole? He says, I can't be. Every time I try to get to the water, I can't get there. Somebody gets in ahead of me. And Jesus said, well, do you want to be whole? He says, well, yes, my words. He says, well, take up your bed and walk. Isn't that good? I mean, all who come to him, he will in no wise cast out.
Right.
He says, well, take up your bed and walk. What did he do? What was the problem? No. The problem was it was the Sabbath. Well, we can't be carrying a bed on the Sabbath, Lynn. That broke all the rules. Well, that's what they said to him when they saw him walking down the street. Singing, do what did he dumb, did he do? They said, what meanest thou this? Carrying your bed, don't you know it's the Sabbath? He said, well, the man that healed me told me to carry my bed. What do you want me to do? He said, well, I can't today. And you know what? They had one of the biggest revivals that the Bible ever talks about. No, they didn't. It says they sought to kill Jesus because he had healed this man on the Sabbath. Anybody know what the word Sabbath or Sabbath means? Gene, don't you answer. Anybody want to venture a guess what that means? Well, the first letters are, thank you, rest. Well, let me ask you something. Let's just think this out. You know, sometimes I just think I'm no hurry. I probably won't get where I want to go. I never do. Let's say you've been lame for 38 years, brother. And you've been trying for 38 years to get in a pool that you knew could make you well. But every time you tried to get up or get somebody to help you, somebody had already got in the pool. Wouldn't you say you're tired? Wouldn't you say you're tired, Jimmy? Tracy, wouldn't you say you're tired, frustrated, aggravated? What's the biggest thing you could use? Rest. Rest. Well, where do you get the rest? Well, you get it in the pool. I can't get to the pool. I need rest. Well, Jesus said, well, I'm rest. He said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Listen, if you need rest, he said, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. If you need rest, where are you going to go to get it? To the one give it to you. The man needed rest. You'd have thought that those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and whoever they were that sought to kill Jesus would have been shouting. But no, they were so steeped in the law. And they had such control over the people with the law. They wanted to kill the only man that could give them rest and give that man rest, and that was Jesus. And that's why he goes on later and he says, hey, the day will come when they that are in the grave will hear my voice. They that have done good unto life. They that have done evil unto damnation. What does that tell you? That tells you that God can talk to the dead. How many is glad that God can talk to the dead? Well, I'm going to tell you what. One day I was dead in trespasses and sin. And I heard a voice come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. There it is. The Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of rest, says, come to me. You'll find it. That's doing good. Because what that means is, I just took him at his word. I just believed him face value. And I came to him. And I found that rest. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Well, in Corinthians chapter 15, he says this, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Like that song says, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of life eternal with a redeemed of virtue stand. There'll be no more sorrow. Y'all know that song, don't you? I'll have a new life. Folks, we're going to have a new life. That's encouraging. You get up on Monday morning and things hurt and ache and you hadn't felt good in a year. And you're reminded, I'll have a new life. I won't get tired going to get the paper. I won't get tired taking a shower. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. Well, is that not encouraging? It is to me. You say, well, Tom, I don't want to die. You're going to. You might as well get encouragement from it. But if you're lost, you don't want to talk about it. You're going to hear his voice. He said you would. But you ain't raised to life. You're raised to damnation. Now, folks, that puts a blunt stop to these people that think just when you die, you're going up and look down. Not if you've not believed in Christ, you're not.
That's right.
Make no apologies for believing that. Make no apologies for saying that. Because as Paul said, what saved him will save anyone else. But you have to believe it. Then he says this in verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What does that tell you right there? What you see standing here ain't going. What you see sitting there ain't going. So if we ain't going and he says we're going, something's got to happen. Well, it's no different than it was spiritually. When you're lost, or when you were lost, something had to change, Lynn. You wasn't going like you were. You know, we've talked about it. God don't just accept everybody like they are. He accepts everybody like he says they better be. Mm-hmm. A change has to take place, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's no different than the physical. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Who in the world would want to go to heaven and then start all over with corruption? Well, maybe I'll get 75 years up here. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the life expectancy is up here. Well, that wouldn't be heaven. That wouldn't be paradise. Paul said this. He said, I knew a man about 14 years ago. He said, no, whether he's anybody or not anybody, I can't say. But I know he was caught up unto the third heaven. Mm-hmm. And then he says it again. Well, I knew a man. Whether he's anybody or anybody, I can't say. But he was caught up into paradise. Now, I'll tell you what. I'll give you. Well, no, I ain't going to give you no homework. I'll tell you what it means. The word paradise there, it means E-D-E-N. Do you know where you're going, bless God, when you die? Back to Eden. Well, who would want anything better than Eden? Huh? It was a place where every day God came down in the cool of the evening and talked with you. Well, that's where he's going to take us back. That's where he intended us all along. That's where he made man. That's where he put man. And Paul says, well, that's where I went. He says, no, I can't tell you nothing about it. Now, that's what gets me. Come on, Paul, tell us something. No. He says, no, all I can tell you is I went. See, that's why I don't believe these people say I went and come back and I wrote a book about it. One thing, they ain't wanting to come back if they really went. Second of all, I wouldn't believe them if they come back and wrote a book. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, I got to think about that word sleep. So I went over to John chapter 11. Anybody knows what's in John chapter 11? I thought you would. Lazarus. Here Jesus is with his disciples and he gets word. His friend whom he loved is sick. And his two sisters, Mary is the one who anointed the feet of Jesus and dried his feet with her hair. The one who was not cumbered about with too many things, but was at the feet of Jesus. He loved them all three. And they sent word for him, he whom thou lovest is sick. And it says that Jesus tarried a few more days. And he said, now we got to go, boys. He says, Lazarus is sleeping. And they said, well, Lord, if he's asleep, that's the best thing for him. I mean, a sick person, what the best thing you need is sleep, rest. He said, well, no, he's dead. I wish y'all knew this story with me. But I know, glory, that I might awake him. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. He's not made that place for himself. He's made it for his children. And he says, I'll come again that where I... I want you to just hang on to that for a second. As we chase Lazarus here. So Jesus is on the way, and Martha hears he's on the way, and she runs to him and said, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. That's true, isn't it? Well, sure it is. But Jesus had already told his disciples, no, this sickness is not unto death, but that God would get glory. That's why he called it sleep. And he said, well, Martha, honey, your brother's going to live again. Your brother's going to arise. And she said, oh, I know, Lord. She had that Old Testament theology sort of. She said, I know, Lord, at the last day that he'll resurrect. But I was sort of thinking if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have to go through that. And Jesus said, well, honey, you ain't got to wait till the last day. I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. So Martha hurries back and she tells her sister Mary, she says, the master's on his way. Mary, boy, she flies out that door, and the Jews that were there mourning and crying, everything, they see her running out the door, and they thought she's going to the tomb. They said, let's go with her. We got to comfort her. They take off too. And says, oh, this is good too. And Mary came to the place where Martha had been. Let me tell you something. We all got to go to the same place, my friend. Mary had to come to the same place that Martha had come to. Mary had to believe the same thing that Martha believed, that Jesus was the resurrection. That's why Jesus didn't move from the place, my friend. Listen, God don't move from the place. You better get to the place. And he said, Mary, show me where you've laid him. She was crying. They were crying. She said, but Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he stinketh. So they took him to the place. And he said, move that stone. Now they had to move it for Lazarus. They didn't have to move it for him. He moved it himself. But they moved the stone. And he said, Lord, I know thou hearest me. And he says, I know you do whatever I ask you to do. But it's for their sake I'm saying this, that they may see your glory. Remember what he told the disciples? Oh, it's not sickness unto death, but that God would get the glory. Folks, everything that God gets glory.
That's right.
If we've not come in here this morning to give him glory, we should have stayed home. We should have stayed home. And so then he just says, Lazarus! Remember what he said? The day is coming when they that are in the graves will hear his voice. Lazarus, come forth. Now I'm going to paraphrase it for you so that you get the meaning. Lazarus, leave where you are and come to where I am. Don't you know that's what resurrection is? He's going to come out one day and it says there's going to be a trumpet and the voice of the archangel. And all he's going to say is this, Jimmy, Angie, come to where I am. That's good, ain't it, son? Bless God, that's good. Come to where I am. Well, let me tell you something. On the way, you're going to get changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, because you can't go like you are. You can't go in the flesh and blood. He said you can't. But he'll change you so fast. I don't know how you measure the twinkle of an eye, but boy, I'll tell you one thing, it's quick. And in the quickness, in the swiftness, in a second, you're going to get changed and you're going to be where he's at. And it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You ain't ever going to get changed back, honey. I don't know what you're going to get changed into. I don't know what kind of body he's going to give us. But I'll tell you one thing. It'll take on incorruption. It'll take on immortality. Bless God, and it ain't ever going to change. It ain't ever coming back because it's going to be in his presence. Remember the word delivered? Anybody remember that word? Jesus, who hath delivered us from the wrath, and what did I tell you? To draw to his side. Well, that's what he's doing. He's doing physically what he's done spiritually. He's been with you all this time. See, there's people that don't believe in the physical resurrection. I feel bad for them. But there's a difference. There's not only a physical resurrection, Diane, to life. There's physical resurrection to damnation. And if you don't come through Christ, you can't go where he's at. You can't come to where he's at. You'll go to the white throne judgment in which the books will be opened. And they that are not found written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. That's the truth. And anything else is a lie. We'll all hear his voice, but we won't all go to the same place, my friend. Come on in. You're all right. You'll only go to be with him if you're in him. And then you'll get a body fashioned unto like his glorious body. And here's what it finishes up with. I'm now back to Thessalonians. And I'll finish that chapter. Here's what he says. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore? Therefore. What's that therefore? To comfort you. To encourage you. Well, let me say today, folks, if you're disheartened and you know the Lord, be encouraged. Look up, he says. Your redemption draweth nigh. Now that is the gospel truth. See you next week.